Bible tonight and turn to the book of Romans, if you will. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6. To the young people that are here tonight, I want you to look at me for a second. All the young people, look up this way. I want you to know your preacher loves you. And I want you to understand something. Sin has a price tag attached to it. Now, the sermon is to all of us, but in a special way. I wish the young people would listen. There are some people here that are, they have a few years on them, and they would say to you, oh, they wish they would have realized what it was going to cost them to do some of the silly things that they've done in their lifetime. And so let's let the sermon help us all. Romans chapter 6, stand with me if you will, please. While you're standing, find verse number 20, Romans chapter 6, verse number 20. The Bible says this, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Notice there, it told us that there were some things that we had done that we're ashamed of now. And it even goes on to say that sin has a price tag attached to it. And let's pray. Spirit of God, control the preaching, control me, control our ears, our attention, our perceptions. Lord, someone here tonight, this sermon could save their life. To all of us, this sermon will better our lives. Spirit of God, reach down into this service and get glory to thyself, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. The Bible says here, the wages of sin is death. If you ask me, that's a pretty crummy paycheck. Now, we often use this verse, Romans 6:23, when we're presenting the gospel. Those of you that know something about soul winning, Romans 6:23 is a verse that we use for soul winning, and we'll tell someone the wages of sin is death. But I want you to know something. The only application for this verse is not just for soul winning. The Bible tells us that sin will cost us something. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. You know, when someone messes up, when someone sins, and then they have to pay the price for their sin, you're looking at a preacher that's not happy about that. I don't rejoice in the fact that someone is now reaping what they've sown. I don't rejoice in the fact that someone stepped across the line, they did something bad, now God must discipline them. But you know, I meet Christians that I don't know where they got the attitude that, you know, some other Christian is now getting in trouble, their life is a bit disarray, and they're hurting because of their own sin, and their people say, they're getting what they deserve. I don't understand that. I don't understand that kind of Christianity. I don't believe that when people are suffering, whether it's because of a self-inflicted problem or just a problem in life, I'll never understand why Christians would look at it and rejoice that somebody else is suffering loss or that they're in pain or that they're hurting. And so you know, so you understand, and I'm not trying to offend you, but if you're the kind of person that when somebody else is going through turmoil and they caused it and you're glad that they're getting what you think they deserve, I think you're a little Christian. And I think you're a weak Christian, and I think you're a carnal Christian. That part of life is God's business, not mine. And so I don't rejoice. Now, justice requires that sin be disciplined, but I'm not setting back hoping for it. I'm not the kind of person that sits back and says, well, I hope old Joe gets it. I hope really God gets them. I don't feel that way. You say, why? Because I happen to be a sinner. And I happen to know what I deserve. And if God's wanting to give out any mercy, I'm more than glad that somebody get it. Because I realize how merciful God has been with me. And I'm not in a hurry for people to be punished or disciplined. Again, I agree with the justice of God. But I don't sit in my chair just hoping that somebody goes through a difficult time because of their sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And those wages are evidenced in many stories in the Bible. For instance, There's a story of a man by the name of Achan, A-C-H-A-N. Achan was a soldier, and he was a soldier under the mighty captain named Joshua. They had gone to battle in a city called Jericho, and God had said in Jericho, when you go to battle in Jericho, when you conquer them, don't spoil the city. In other words, don't take any spoils, rewards home with you. God said that the city Achan was called an accursed city. So they were to go in and conquer the city and walk away. They weren't supposed to take gold or silver or riches. They were just to leave everything behind. Well, Achan, this soldier, thought he knew better than God. Achan sinned by stealing a Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. So Achan sinned to get some money and some clothes. Sad thing. He hid them in his tent. And what ended up happening is, because of this, Israel ended up getting defeated in another battle. A couple dozen people die because of it. And in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 through 26, it says that Achan ends up being stoned to death and his family were burned with fire because of his sin. Now let me explain. I bring this to you because the Bible teaches the wages of sin is death. Folks, there are sins that you and I can commit, and as a result of it, we can die. We can die. You say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? Oh, no. I'm trying to love you and warn you. So, no, this isn't me trying to scare you, but I will tell you one thing. I do fear God. And if it could happen to Achan, I guess it could happen to anybody. But the wages of sin is death. With Achan, I mean, he lost his life. There's another story. We all know about Peter. Peter, one of the apostles, he was very close to Jesus. Peter had a wonderful testimony for Jesus Christ. Peter's the one that walked on the water. Now, he didn't take a lot of steps on the water, but he still, to this day, still holds the all-time water walking record in history. So Peter was a pretty powerful fella. Everybody knew that Peter was Jesus' right-hand man, if you will. But there came a point when Jesus was being taken to be falsely accused and through a trial, and the Bible says that Peter followed Jesus afar off. Some woman at a bonfire said to Peter, hey, aren't you with Jesus? And the Bible says that Peter denied that he knew Christ, and he cursed, and he lied. And so what happened? Well, Peter hurt his testimony, if I may say. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, Peter's body didn't die there, but Peter did kill a big chunk of his testimony because of his sin. He killed a piece of his testimony. Do you know to this day that people still call him the one that denied Jesus Christ? The wages of sin is death. It could cost us our life. Sin could cost us our testimony. There's another story. That famous Old Testament figure by the name of Moses. Moses was leading God's people through the wilderness. God had told Moses at a certain time, if you will speak to that rock right there, I will give you water. So he didn't have bottles of water back then and didn't have running water that came through a spigot or through a tap. They would go and they would get water from a river. And if there was not water from a river or a brook or a stream, then they would just do without water. And God said, Moses, if you'll speak to that rock right there, I can get you water out of the rock. Well, Moses, from time to time, had a temper problem. Well, Moses ends up losing his temper. He takes his big stick and he smites that rock. He hits it two times instead of just speaking to it. What was his sin? It was his temper. What did it cost him? Well, in this case, it cost him a dream that he had. You say, what was his dream? Well, he was leading all those people through the wilderness, and it was Moses' dream to enter into the promised land. And the story is that because Moses sinned and lost his temper, and this wasn't a one-time temper issue. This is something that Moses had a temper problem. If you remember correctly, when he was a young man, he rose up and killed a man with his temper. He couldn't get his temper under control. What happened? His temper, according to Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 13, it cost him a dream. He couldn't control his attitude, and it cost him a dream. He didn't get to go into the promised land. You see, the wages of sin is death. We could lose our life because of sin. We could lose our testimony. A part of our testimony could die because of sin. We could lose a dream because of our sin. But then there's another story. I think of the young man by the name of Cain, one of the children of Adam and Eve. Cain was the child of Adam. Cain was the child of Eve. Cain had a brother named Abel. And God wanted both of them to give a sacrifice unto the Lord. And so you know, there are some people say, well, I'll give God what I choose to give God. And let me explain. You're to give God what God chooses you'll give God. You say, well, I'll serve God my way. You're to serve God God's way. That's how it's supposed to be done. Well, God had said, what I want you all to do, I want you to give a sacrifice to me, but it has to be a sacrifice of one of your flocks. And the reason for that is that sacrifice pictured Jesus, and the flock, if it were a sheep or a lamb, blood would be shed, which pictured Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which cometh to take away the sins of the world, John 1:29. So God said to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, when you give a sacrifice, make it of your herd. Well, Cain, he didn't raise animals. He raised vegetables. Cain said, I'm going to give God a sacrifice of my potatoes, my carrots. That's what I'll give God. Well, as a result of it, this stirred up a real problem. Cain and Abel had a disagreement about this thing. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, his brother, because he gave of his flocks the blood sacrifice. Cain brought the vegetables. Next thing you know, Cain gets all upset at Abel, and they get in a hassle. You know what Cain did? He killed his brother. He killed his brother. That sin and what prompted him killing his brother had something to do with him and that sacrifice and his disobedience to God. He sinned when he gave a sacrifice that was unpleasing to God, which then sent him into emotional turmoil. He had a difference with his brother about this whole thing because his brother obeyed God. Cain didn't. Cain got angry and killed his brother. You know what? That brought the death of a relationship. Can I tell you something? The wages of sin is death. Folks, I've watched people sin just destroy relationships. I got to thinking of the man by the name of Samson, Old Testament strong man, a powerful man. He married a heathen woman by the name of Delilah. And just so you all know, Delilah didn't love the Lord, but she was good looking. Can I tell you all something? When you decide to take an interest in the opposite sex, you better make sure that God is first in their life and that they're saved and they're going to church and they're doing right. You say, yeah, but they're good looking. I'll tell you something. You're going to be sorry if you marry someone that's good looking that's not saved, because you're going to have the devil as your father-in-law, and it's not going to turn out real well. Some of you are saying, well, I got the devil as my mother-in-law, and it ain't turning out real well. But I'm just here to tell you, Samson took an interest in Delilah because she was a good-looking chick, and the fella suffered. He suffered terribly because of it. Because of this interest, what happens is Samson was a very powerful man. He had taken a vow about letting his hair grow and his hair not to have a razor to touch it. And so you know, that was an Old Testament vow. We don't take that vow anymore. The Bible says in the New Testament, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. So men are supposed to keep their hair cut in this day and age. But that was just a vow that was taken in that era. And he had taken that, and somehow God associated the hair and Samson's power. But Delilah begins to ask him about where did he get his power and what would keep him from having that power. And he lied to her. He told her, well, if you'd bind me with a new vine, then that I could be taken captive. And that didn't work. And said, well, bind me with a new rope. And he lied to her, and that didn't work. And said, well, weave my hair. Now, if I were a man, I wouldn't be saying to a woman, braid my hair. You ladies can braid each other's hair, but men, you want to stay out of that business right there. But finally, Samson tells Delilah the secret to his power, said, if somebody would cut my hair, then I will have been disobedient to my vow about not letting a razor touch my head. And in all actuality, it had nothing to do with the hair. It had to do with him obeying God. But now she finds out the secret to his sin, and she's now connected to the people back in her hometown, which didn't love God anyway, that served false gods. And she tells them, we're going to whack his hair off, and then you can come in and take him captive. And that's exactly what happened. And as a result of it, according to Judges chapter 16, the entire chapter, the next thing you know, they do take Samson, the powerful man that nobody could stop. They take him captive. They take him to a mill. They put out his eyes and they bind him. What happened? Well, God, I believe, had a tremendous plan for Samson's life. What happened? Samson sinned and he brought death to a certain will, a certain ministry that God would have had for him. Would we all think for a minute that God's ministry to Samson was to be grinding in a mill, chained and shackled like an ox to a grinding mill? Oh no, that is not what God had planned for Samson's life. What did he do? He sinned and he killed a part of a wonderful ministry that God would have had for him. I think of another, and this will be the last illustration I'll give, and I want to apply this to our life a little better. Hey, there's a man in Luke chapter 16, and that man in Luke 16 was a rich man. And Luke 16 is a story about a rich man and a beggar. And remember, the wages of sin is death. And this rich man faces the wage of sin. This rich man had it made. He had rejected salvation, though. But he had everything monetarily that someone would want. There's also a beggar in this story. The beggar had accepted Jesus, the rich man had not. When the beggar died, he went to heaven. The rich man died, and he went to hell. The wages, and you say, what sin did the rich man commit? He rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. And so, you know, that's what sends everybody to hell. You accept Jesus, you go to heaven. You reject Jesus, you go to hell. The sin that sends you to hell is a rejection of Jesus Christ. So this rich man rejects Jesus Christ, and as a result of it, he dies and goes to hell. That death is an eternal death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So as you look at it, Achan's sin brought the death of his body. Peter's sin brought the death of his testimony. Moses' sin brought the death of a dream. Cain's sin brought the death of his relationship. Samson's sin brought the death of his ultimate accomplishment for God in life. And the rich man's sin in Luke 16 brought the death of his soul, and he spent eternity in hell. Now, folks, let me tell you something. There's a paycheck assigned to sin. And there always has been. So you know, when we sin, something dies. Maybe a little piece of it, but something dies. I just want to talk to you a little bit about this thought. And in essence, you've heard the sermon. I'm going to repeat. I want to add a little bit to what I've already said to you. But I think sometimes we use the verse Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and we think that's just a soul-winning verse. But folks, that's a verse about life. Sin will cost you something. Sin will take you farther than you planned to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, and will hurt you more than you ever imagined. Be careful. And I do not come to you as a threatening figure of authority. I come to you as a preacher that loves you. And I especially want to say to the young people, be careful. Sin costs you something. So you don't get away with it. It's going to cost you something. And if I may, by my own experience, boy, the sins that I've committed in my life, and I do, and I have, and I'm not proud of them, I am so sorry, because there are times that they have cost me, and I'm so sad about the things that I could have had. I wonder if it had not been for my misbehaviors and my sins, what God could have done with and for me in my life. I've limited myself because of the sin that I've committed in my life. Listen to me for just a few more minutes. For instance, the wage of sin, what does sin cost us? Well, it could cost us physical death. Like Achan. Do you know that Achan died and his family died when he stole that stuff from the city of Jericho? Now let me warn you. You get involved in the drug culture, you can die from that. And it starts simple. It starts very simple. Nobody turns into a drug addict overnight. So may I say to everybody here, from the front of this building to the back of this building, whether you're 4 or 5 years of age or you're an adult, let me warn you something. Drugs could kill you. And I'm not just talking about you going out here and meeting some flunky on the corner and figuring out a way to have a drug deal that's an illegal drug deal. I'm talking about some of you that abuse your the medicines that you are prescribed. There's probably more drug abuse in the United States of America with prescribed drugs being misused than there is where people are smoking dope on Saturday night down at Joe's Bar and Grill in the back room. But I'm telling you, you could die from it. You better be careful with the alcohol. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, you better be careful. You'll end up with liver disease. You get drunk and go out drive and you'll kill yourself and kill somebody else. You better be careful with your morality. The Bible makes it very clear you're to have a physical relationship with somebody that you're married to, not with somebody you're not married to. And whether you like it or not, there are diseases that you can pick up from being immoral. There are people that can die from those diseases. Somebody here, if you're not careful, you will physically die, and that will be the penalty for your sin. Now, I can't tell you who that is and when. You say, oh, preacher, that doesn't apply to the New Testament. Maybe you ought to tell that to Ananias and Sapphira. Yes, it does apply to this day and age. I'm just here to tell you, we can physically die as a result of our sin. Secondly, the wages of sin, it could cost us our testimony. You say, what's our testimony? Well, you and I are supposed to be like Jesus, and we're to live like Christ. And to whatever degree we can, we're to build a reputation, not for ourselves, but for Him. It's supposed to be Jesus in us, the hope of glory. In other words, people are to look at me, and they're to say, you know what, he's trying to be like Jesus. And I am to be a complement to Christianity. My life is to be a complement to Jesus. My life is to be a complement to the church. Now let me warn you, your sin can destroy that complement. Your sin can destroy your testimony if you're not careful. You think about Peter. Peter messed himself up. Do you realize that Peter had worked real hard at getting himself a decent testimony where people say, hey, he's one of Jesus' disciples. He's an apostle. He's hanging around with Jesus. He's one of them. And what did Peter do? He warmed himself by a fire and a woman. By the way, men, might I warn you, don't let some woman cause you to put your tail between your legs and cower from the Christian that you're supposed to be. And to all of you, don't be flirting with the opposite sex. Let it be known that you're a Christian, and if you're married, let that be known. But it just happened to be a woman that caused Peter to cower. I wonder if she was good looking. I wonder if she just seemed to have it all together. And she said, aren't you one of those Christians? And Peter thought, I think she's interested in me. I'm quite the dude, you know. He was afraid to take his stand. I was at an airport not a long time ago, and a woman, I was getting ready to get on my airplane, and a lady said, sir, how are you today? I said, I'm fantastic. I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm happily married. She said, okay. You know, I didn't want to mess up my testimony. I didn't even want to enjoy her flirtations. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was trying to do the right thing. Be good for some of you not to enjoy the flirtations of those things that could mess up your testimony. Do you know there's a guy in the Bible by the name of Thomas, and we call him Thomas the what? Doubter. You think he boogered up his testimony? You say, booger. That's not good English. I know, but it's good preaching, brother. Look what Thomas did to his testimony. He messed it up. Hey, don't become known as a troublemaker. Young people, in your youth, don't become known as the loose girl. Don't become known as the troublemaking boy. Watch your, and to everybody, watch that temper. You can get a bad name for it. Watch that fit of passion. You could get a bad name for it. Hey, don't go to places that could aid or add to the possibility of the destroying of your testimony. Many have made some excellent changes in your life. Don't mess up your testimony. You're coming along. Listen. We our reputation is not all about us, it's all about Him. But you do have the honor of carrying a reputation for Jesus. But when you mess up, you can kill a part of your testimony. To this very day, we're still mentioning Thomas the doubter. To this very day, all you have to do is say, hey, wasn't Peter the one that denied Christ? And people that don't even know who Peter is will say, oh yeah, I heard about that. Right. Folks, the wages of sin is death. It could kill your body. It could kill your testimony. But let me warn you about something else. Moses, what happened to him was it killed a dream of his, something that he had looked forward to. There are people in here, there are dreams that you have, and I think they're good dreams. I think they're spiritual dreams. Boy, many, many a person has had a dream. It was a good dream. It was a God-given dream. It was a God-given passion. But the devil got the best of them, and they went into sin, and as a result of it, they messed up their dream. Some here dream of a good job. Can I tell you something? If you're going to dream of a good job, you better watch out. Sin can steal that from you. Sin can kill a part of that dream. So there's some young man in here. You dream of having a good Christian wife. Can I tell you something, young man? If you want to dream of having a good Christian wife, maybe you ought to qualify for her by being a good Christian young man. You go out, young man, and you get known as a young man that's immoral. You know what's going to happen? The good girls are not going to be interested in you, and you will kill the dream that you had of having a good Christian young lady. You young ladies, you say, you know what, preacher? I want a young man that loves God and wants to serve God, and he'll be pure and honest and love me, and we'll serve God together. Well, can I tell you something? The best way to get a good young man that loves God is for you to protect your testimony, protect your chastity, your virginity, and be right and do right, and make sure that you are the right kind of girl so you can qualify for the right kind of boy. But if you're not careful, you'll go out and you'll mess that up. And some of you, you'll crush your own dream. Because the wages of sin is the death of something. Many people have watched dreams virtually die. Why? Because of their sin. Some of you dream of a long, healthy life. But because you do some of the things that I warned you not to do, the drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, you'll die early. You're ruining your own dream. Some young man, maybe you dream of standing in a pulpit and preaching. Well, let me tell you something. There is a devil that will do everything he can to keep you out of that pulpit. He'll try everything under the sun to get you to mess up your life to the point that you don't have that privilege of maybe pastoring a church someday. And so, might I say, protect your dream. You say, how am I going to do it? Stay away from sin. Sin costs you something. Somebody here, you dream of being a Sunday school teacher, or working on a bus route, or changing lives. Well, let me tell you something. Watch your sin. Watch your sin. I want everybody in our church. I don't want anybody to be just a pew setter. I want everybody involved. I want everybody serving God. I want everybody to have positions where they're influencing people. But sometimes we get ourselves in a mess and we sin and we mess up our lives. And as a result of it, you can't work as a role model at that time. And why? Sin has now stolen away a little part of your dream. Boy, have I watched people mess up their dreams. Young people, let me tell you something else. Your parents have dreams for you. Every young person under the sound of my voice, your mom and dad want something great in your life. Boy, they want you to have a purity and a happy life and a successful life. Don't mess up your parents' dream. And I feel for parents. There's some of you, you're going to go through some tough times because you have a dream for your child and your child's going to do some dumb things and they're going to mess up some of your dreams. But might I say to all of us, our Heavenly Father has some dreams. You have any idea what God has planned for you? You that are parents, you want to see your children succeed and rise to great heights and do something and make a difference. Well, far, far, far higher are God's dreams for you as God's child. But you mess up God's dreams for you. And let me say, children, don't mess up your parents' dreams. You see, I think sometimes sin brings death to dreams. When we looked at the story of Cain, how sad, what happened? Cain's sin brought the death of a relationship. May I say to everybody in here, what causes marriages to disintegrate, and relationship between children and their parents, and relationship between aunts and uncles, and even the family atmosphere within the church? Sin is what causes that deterioration. It's sin. What'll mess up the unity in a church is pride and arrogance and an unforgiving spirit. What are those things? They're sins. And if we're not careful, we'll kill a part of a relationship. We virtually bring a certain type of a death to a relationship. That some of you, it will be sin that will cause the demise of a friendship that should have been a spiritual friendship. Folks, you understand what destroys marriages? Sin. Sin. There are people in here, because of sin, you don't have a good relationship with an aunt or an uncle. There are people in here, you don't have a good relationship with a son or a daughter. What happened? Sin. Pride, stubbornness, and then maybe, who knows what that sin was. But I just have to tell you, sin slays homes. It massacres marriages. Oh, sin is very skillful in what it does. And with Cain, have you ever really thought about the story of Cain and Abel? You understand Adam and Eve had dreams for their two boys, Cain and Abel? Do you understand there were four people at that time on the face of the earth, and Cain kills Abel, and Adam had to, that night, Adam had to comfort Eve. Can you imagine? Two boys, one kills the other. But folks, it is merely a lesson for all of us to learn. Sin destroys relationships. It just destroys relationships. And we ought to be careful within the church. Be careful how you behave. Your sin can destroy a relationship within the church that needed to be a successful relationship within the church. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It could be the death of a body. It could be death. We could die prematurely. We could lose our lives because of sin. Not only that, it could be the death of our testimony. It could be the death of a dream that God would have for us. It could be the death of a relationship. I think of Samson. And Samson's sin brought the death of a portion of God's will for his life. As powerful as Samson was, I really think God has some really big things that he wanted to use Samson to do. But because of Samson's sin, Samson never got to do those things. Folks, when you and I continue in sin and we go down the wrong road, we're going to miss the special task God created us for. And let me make something very clear. Every single person in this church, there's something for which God has created you. Everybody here was created for a reason. You ought to want to find that reason and fulfill that purpose for which God created you, and that is the will of God for your life. Now, and you say, I know God wanted me to be a mom or a dad. No, I'm talking about there is a what we would call a spiritual responsibility for which you were created. God just didn't create you and throw you out there and say, well, go do what you want. I'll see you later on. That's not it. God created you to accomplish something. And that is His ultimate will for your life. We ought to find that and do that. Samson messed up. Satan brought into Samson's life a temptation, and Samson gave into that temptation. What happened? Samson didn't get to fulfill what I think was the ultimate will of God for his life. Now, folks, listen. There's some of you, and young people especially, I think there are young people under the sound of my voice. I think there are young men that will be preachers someday. I think there are young men that will be missionaries someday. I think there are young ladies that will marry preachers and be Christian school teachers. And I realize that's not the only thing that God uses us for in life. But I really believe that there are young people that God wants you to be future Sunday school teachers and bus captains and Christian coaches. And there are a variety of things that God wants to do in your life. But if you're not careful, sin will come along and sin will steal some of those things away from you. You'll mess up. You'll ruin what God had for you to do. I had a young man call me, and he was just devastated. He was a pastor's son. He was from another country, and he was weeping. He said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm sorry to bother you. He said, you know, I graduate from high school this year, and he said, I've messed up. He said, I've messed up bad. He said, I have ruined God's will for my life. Well, right away, I figured it was probably a morality thing. And it was. the young man, he had worked all of his life. He was 18 years of age. He was pure. He was clean. He was a virgin. And he gave his virginity away. And he was weeping. He said, I realize what I've done. He said, that wasn't my plan. He said, I've ruined God's perfect will for my life. He said, I ruined it. And I told him, I said, yes, young man, you have messed up. You have sinned. And there'll be some penalty in regard to it. He said, I guess I'll never be able to serve God again. And I told him this. I said, I got to tell you something about the will of God. God does something really neat for you. God wants you to be clean. God wants you to be pure. But did you know what God does? The minute you mess up His will for your life, He writes another one. I said, now that first will has got to be set aside. But the new one that He made, it's a perfect will too. It's just perfect from here on out. You say, wow, I want to fulfill that one. Well, you might mess that one up too. But then what does He do? He rewrites another will for your life. And what's your goal? To live that one perfectly from here on out. God spends His time fixing up our messes. So, lest I scare you, I'm not telling you that God doesn't have a will for your life. But I am telling you this, we ought to want the original, the very best, the purest, the greatest, the one that will accomplish the most. That's the will of God that we want. If you mess up, your God's a forgiving God. God will say, you know what? You kind of messed up here, and you can't have that same will because my justice won't allow that. You're going to suffer some. You're going to lose some. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you a deal. From this day forward, I'm writing out another will for you. Now you follow this one. And I might say, if it were a morality issue and He rewrote for you, and then you turn around and you do the very same thing again and He rewrites for you, there's coming a day when He's going to say, I'm done with this kind of junk. He may just take you off the face of this earth. Your repetitive abuse of God's mercy, he can pick up on that. You do understand. But the wages of sin is death. When you and I sin, something dies. Something dies somewhere along the way. Is it a dream? Will it be our body? Will it be a relationship? Will it be our testimony? But let me finish by saying this. We use this verse most frequently for soul winning. Folks, the Bible teaches everybody's a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. See, you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell because of that sin. And if you don't turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in your heart and be your Savior, when you die, the wages of your sin will be death in hell for all eternity. And again, I don't say that to scare you, but I will tell you this. I am scared of hell. I don't want to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. Sin costs us something. You say, but preacher, I've committed some sins, and I don't see where it costs me anything. If I were you, I'd say it this way. Preacher, I've committed some sins, and I don't see where it's cost me anything yet. But God's not a liar. It'll cost you something. And whether you know it or not, there's some things that have already been deducted from your books. It's already cost you something. Let's stay away from sin. It costs us. It costs us a lot. And the bad part about it is, folks, not only does it cost me, when I sin, it costs me, but wait a minute. It'll cost my wife or my kids, my grandchildren. You say, why? Well, if it cost me something that I would have passed on to them, well, I don't have what I once had. How can I pass it on to them? Because my sin stole it away from me. Did you know that even in our church, your sin cost our church something? You say, oh, I wouldn't want to do that. Okay, and I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you, we're a family. Your sin costs our church something. Please, take it easy on our church. We want revival. We want God's hand on our church. Don't let your sin steal from you. Don't let your sin steal from us. Did you know your sin could cost our church testimony? You ever heard someone say, "I know that guy, he goes down there to that church. He's a bad character. And you know what? People associate our church with that bad character. Our sin costs something. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I mentioned earlier that sin cost us something. But I mentioned this also. I am not one that rejoices when people's sins are being punished. I just don't rejoice in that. If you say, "Preacher, I did something and it's costing me," well, I want you to know, I do not rejoice about the penalty that you're suffering. I do not. I do not rejoice when sin has taken from you, when sin steals from you. I don't rejoice in that at all. I hurt with you. Say, "Well, it's self-inflicted." I realize, but self-inflicted people weep and self-inflicted people have misery too. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, somewhere in the sermon tonight, I've been reminded of the cost of sin. And as a result of it, I feel like God spoke to my heart. I'm going to be careful about some things, and there's some things that God's spoken to me about this cost of sin, and He has spoken to me." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You say, I want to be careful. We're going to have an altar call. You may put those hands down. If you're not saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? Because if you don't get saved, the penalty for your sin will be death in hell. There's some of you, the penalty of sin, it's already stolen some things from you. Why don't you decide tonight, I am not going to pay out on these sins. I just don't want to have things taken from me because of my sin. I'm going to live right. I want to minimize the damage that sin does in my life. If you need the altar, we welcome you to it. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment? Do you need to come to the altar? Maybe you need to come and say, "God, help me. There's some things in my life that I need to get out of my life before it costs me." Hey, and I'll tell you what, if you can take care of that sin now, you can minimize its penalty. If you're living in a sin right now, let me tell you, get out of it now, because the longer you're there, the more it will cost you. I might even say, some of you say, "Well, I don't really have any big dreams." Well, some of you are going to wake up someday and you're going to want to dream. You're going to look back and say, "You know what? I never dreamed I'd be doing this or that with my life. I'd love to accomplish something great, but I lived in such a way that I minimized what can be done with my life." Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. And the great thing is, I mentioned it in this morning's sermon, if you're still alive, that means God still has something for you. He has rewritten a will for your life from here on out. Now let's do something with that will. That will includes a forgiveness and an opportunity to serve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Achan's sin, oh, it cost him. It cost him his physical life. Peter's sin, it cost him. It cost him his testimony. The death of a dream came to Moses. The death of a relationship because of Cain's misbehavior. The death of God's perfect will because of Samson. Oh, the rich man, the death of his soul in hell for all eternity because he did not turn to Christ. The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. Sin cost us something. The wages of sin is death. This is the last time through the song, and then we'll pray and be on our way. Thank you.